This is a replay of Monday Night Trivia on July 22nd on WGN Radio. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings, unless sports preempt us. That's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip for the world's best customer service. It's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe. It's the Raleigh James Show.
Three big hours of Monday Night Trivia, and the theme is the same as last week. As I said at the time, I just had far too many choices, so I figure it's a two-week theme. And we identified the theme, too, so you're ahead of me on that, which is all of the songs we're going to play are answer songs to hits. And all you have to do is tell me who's doing them. Yeah, extra credit if you know what the answer is too, but that's a little too easy. What I really want to know is who are the artists answering the big hit makers? And you'll hear the first one in moments. Now we have a straggler from last Monday night. Most of us encounter these virtually all the time these days, but the first time anyone saw one was the latter 70s. Saw what? And this, too, is a straggler. So we started on this last week, and we're finishing it tonight. If you don't get it, well, in the third hour, I reveal it, because we won't hang you longer than an extra week there. So we encounter them all the time, but the first time any of us ever saw one was the latter 70s. Saw what? Now, if you don't like my question and you don't know my bumper stumpers, of course it would help to hear one first, then you can have your own category. And sky is the limit on that, because everybody knows something about something. There is some category in which you are an expert. I just know it. And Barry proves that every week from New Hampshire, though sometimes he picks advertising and does pretty well. But this week we're back to Beatles. So, Barry, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Wally.
How are you?
Happy Monday.
Well, yes, indeed.
All right.
Yes, indeed. So, finding difficult Beatles questions is harder and harder, but I think maybe. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Name the session drummer for the album version of Love Me Do.
Andy White.
Absolutely, we have a winner. Now, you probably know the backstory. Why was Andy White playing drums and not Ringo?
Because George Martin didn't think Ringo was up to the task.
Ooh. All right. Did he do that with any other songs?
I think I just Love Me Do.
Really? Really, I wouldn't consider that necessarily an intricate drum song, but I guess I have to listen more closely.
Well, I mean, they just got rid of
Pete Best, Best of the Beatles, yes, Pete Best.
Yeah.
And why was that? Why was Best let go?
He didn't fit in as a group. Like he wore his hair different, and he didn't think he was as a good drummer. They didn't know Ringo was the better drummer.
Okay. So it was part talent and part appearance then. All right.
Appearance, yeah. I mean, they thought that he some people say that they thought maybe Paul was jealous of the was better looking. I don't know.
Oh, jeez. Well, now I have to take a look at, while we're talking, I have to look up Pete Best online to see what he looked like. Let's see. Nah, really? Well, okay, I'm looking at a young picture of him, I guess, maybe. Well, whatever. It turned out to be a real good thing for Ringo. And you are a winner.
All right.
All right, hang on. Don't go away. All right, so maybe that change in personnel by George Martin is where all the rumors started that Ringo didn't drum on most of his own stuff. I know Pretty Purdy always claimed that he actually drummed on some of it, but I don't think there's any truth. Well, I don't know if there's truth or not, but I don't think there's any proof to it. So 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. And we will pick it up there with Bruce and Elwood. We're going to do Shipwrecks of the Great Lakes. I told you, any category, everybody knows something about something. We'll see what Bruce and Elwood knows about Shipwrecks of the Great Lakes coming up on WGN Radio.
Hey, baby, what do I have to do to make you love me too?
You got to roll with me, Henry.
All right, baby.
Roll.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, I figured we'd start off with something that should be relatively familiar because Lord knows the song which it is an answer to is one of the more well-known songs, spewing forth many different versions by many different people. But in this case, who was answering it? All right. If you know what it is, well, extra credit. But what I really want to know is, who is that? 888-876-5593. So we get to Bruce and Elwood. So Bruce, I got to ask, what causes you to be an expert of shipwrecks of the Great Lakes?
You know, Riley, we used to own a blueberry farm up near Benton Harbor, Michigan, and I went to all those little bookstores years and years ago, and I just read, I've forgotten so much in my age, but I've probably read over 100 books on shipwrecks of the Great Lakes.
Good. Good. All right. Well, of course, most of us only know about the Edmund Fitzgerald, since there was a dreaded record made of it in 1976, the event in 1975. Edmund Fitzgerald. All right. Well, in 1914, a ship named after somebody else went down, and it was certainly quite the incident at the time. In fact, the customs officer said to the captain, "I should not like to ride with you. You are overloaded." Well, overloaded she was. And in fact, most of the ship remains intact and undisturbed at the bottom of the lake. What was the ship?
I don't know. There were so many.
It was a steel bulk freight steamer built in Michigan in 1909. And as I say, it was dangerously full of steel. And she came west through the Great Lakes from Ohio, and she disappeared in a severe storm off Knife Island. It was April 27th, 1914, and all hands were lost. Now, what's interesting, the ship had been designed to withstand the weather.
They had overloaded with steel rails.
Yep. And in 2004, she was found 365 feet down, 8 miles off Knife Island, hit bottom hard, and part of the vessel is buried underneath a trench. So, what's the ship?
I don't remember the name of the ship. I just remember it was overloaded with rails because they put a deck load of rails and stuff on them. And,
yes.
Yeah.
Well, it was the Benjamin Noble.
Oh, okay.
You'll never forget it.
I should have known that one.
Yeah, you'll never forget it. But, yeah, you remember the ship, that's for sure.
Can I make a guess at the straggler?
I hope so.
Could it be digital watches?
It is not. It is not. That's a nice guess, though. Yeah, God, I remember the first time I saw one of those was actually like 1970, and they were like $2,000 each. And they looked more like the timer on a bomb. But but yeah, so no, not that. This was well after digital watches.
I should have known the Benjamin Noble. I've read that one. But there's so many thousands of them, you know. I mean,
well, I tried to pick one I thought you might know, but next time we'll try another one.
Yeah, I should have.
All
okay,
right.
thank
Thanks.
You.
Appreciate it. All right, so yeah, that was it, the Benjamin Noble. And like I say, the captain was warned, yeah, I should not like to ride with you. That's a nice way of saying it. I don't think I would have been quite so classy. What I don't know is whether the guy rode with him or not. All right, so Lisa in Dundee, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hello. How are you, Raleigh?
Well, I'm here and glad of it. How about yourself?
Well, I'm glad you're here, too,
okay.
Because you're such a safe haven with everything that's going on in the world.
Oh,
it's just nice to turn on the radio and hear you.
Right. The Constitution could go up in flames. We'll play trivia. So
exactly. We know what's really important.
Well, that's right. And plus, anybody who wants to know the latest and greatest on the political machinations, I think there are more opportunities to find that than I could count.
Absolutely, and there's only one you.
Yeah, right.
And there's only one Monday Night Trivia.
That's it. And I'm going to give you a line that I know you know. We all know this line, but we'll see if you know the movie. Are you ready?
Okay, yes.
All right, Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close-up.
Oh, that's Sunset Boulevard.
Yes, 1950. You're absolutely right.
Yes.
Yes, yes. I can't tell you how many times I've used that line. I never knew what movie it was from. But
Well, you know, if you have 2 hours,
yeah,
you should put it on. It's a good one.
Oh, I don't doubt it. I'll put it on that infamous to-do list where, once again, the only way to get off it is to die. All right, so hang on. Don't go away. Stay right
All
where
right,
you are.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, we're trying to whittle down some of the tasks. In fact, I got an email from Johnny D saying, when you're done procrastinating, I want you to put this and that and the other thing on your website. In a word, no. All right, we've been trying to find ways to streamline my days because, you know, I can't do anything about 24 hours in the day. That's all I get, though I'd love 30. And, yeah, that'd be perfect. Sleep for 10, up for 20. But it doesn't work like that. So the problem now is I'm working about 16 hours and barely getting 8 hours of sleep, assuming I fall asleep right away. And it's having impact. And so we're cutting back on certain things. I've been trying to redesign the websites because there are so many glitches in it that, you know, make it increasingly difficult for me to work with that I thought, all right, and so Johnny seized on that and said, oh, good, you can put my stuff up. No, the idea is to make it easier. And apologies, but what I've learned the hard way is knowing how to do something does not mean you have the time to do it. And I'm having to take that to heart right about now. Yes. Medical opinion is you're doing too much. All right, so I'll do less. And apologies to those who want things on the website. You'll continue, hopefully, to get a list of what was on the air and when we're live and all that. And, you know, that stuff will stay up. But other than that, forget about it. Robert and Stickney, welcome to WGN Radio. So you know.
Could that have been Etta James?
Of course it could. 1955 on Modern. So what record was that an answer to?
You got a Rock With Me Henry or something?
No, absolutely, but no. Before that, Work With Me Annie. Work With Me Annie, which started that started the whole mess by Hank Ballard. And he recorded that on Federal in 1954. And, you know, then he brought up answer songs like Annie Had a Baby and all of that stuff. But the right. Wallflower was Etta James, and that was Roll With Me, Henry. And, of course, it was Georgia Gibbs who did Dance With Me, Henry, because, of course, she had to
get it. The original, yeah.
But the original is Work With Me, Annie. You're a winner. You knew it was Etta. Hang on. Don't go away.
Yeah, okay.
All right. So 888-876-5593 is 8888-Raleigh. And Deb is in Streamwood. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh. I was going to guess that it was Penny and the Quarters, but I guess I was wrong.
That was Etta James, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I was wondering if you could give me a trivia question on advertisement.
Okay, I'm going to do that. And it is, I'll tell you what, it is a bookseller, okay?
Okay.
Not in business anymore, I don't think. All right. If you paid full price, you didn't buy it at blank books.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah, you remember them now. Can you remember who they were?
Crown?
You are absolutely right. Absolutely.
Really?
Yes, Crown Books. You are 100% right. They were in the D.C. area, and it was Robert Half's company who did it. And so, yes, no relation to the publisher Crown Books, but it was founded in 77 by Robert Half. And you're absolutely right. Crown Books.
Well, awesome. Thank you so much. And, you know, I told you my mom listens to you all the time. She was actually on the Steve and Johnny show Saturday night because she celebrated her 106th birthday.
Oh, my God. Well, congratulations. How's she feeling?
Great. If you ask her that, she'll say with her hands.
Oh, geez. Well, then she's fine. Yes, indeed.
She is.
Indeed. That's
she has a little
terrific.
Balance problem, but otherwise she's good.
Well, who doesn't? But that's
yeah, I already have one, and I'm just 68.
Right, exactly. Good for her. Well, you've got good genes. You're going to be with us a while.
Hopefully.
Yeah. So what's her first name again?
Her name's Alice.
All right, Alice. Happy 106. Alice, you'll be here next year. Well, happy 107. All right. Good deal.
Yeah. Well, Steve and Johnny said that they'll talk to her again next year on her 107.
Exactly right. Good deal. And I'll be sure to wish her a happy birthday then. And I wish her a great year in the meantime.
Well, thank you so much. And you have a great night.
All right. Thanks. I appreciate it.
Okay.
All right. So now hold on. I got to get your address. And by the way, the prizes are not worth having. They take forever to get to you. They're not even worth the postage, but you do get a little certificate that's a lot of fun, and eventually you will. So hold on. Don't go away.
I think that's great.
All
thank
right.
you.
So, yeah. And, you know, as far as being behind on mailing, oh, I don't know, about a year and a half. But, hey, stuff happens. All right. So, yeah. And that's some of the things we're trying to clean up as well. But 888-876-5593-8888-Raleigh. Ruth and Gurney wants campaign buttons. All right, so this is good. I've got one. So, Ruth, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, good evening, Raleigh, direct from the campus of Raleigh University.
All right, well, here's your...
I tell you?
Well, I'm 2 minutes away from the news. So I want to ask you your question, all right? You're talking campaign buttons. A well-known campaign button for Barry Goldwater was actually on the table of elements. What was the campaign button?
Goldwater. I passed out hundreds of them.
Well, no. What did the button say exactly?
I thought it only had his picture in it.
No. The button said, that's why I said table of elements, the button said AUH2O.
Oh,
AU for
and John said that earlier.
Right, AU.
John gave that away, but I didn't understand him in the telephone connection.
So he answered the question.
Yeah.
All right, well.
I didn't see one with that. I got out after 6 months last week, and I was impressed with the Lake County Health Department, but I didn't get an appointment because I couldn't get through on the phone.
Oh, yeah.
And I realized that we don't have any walk-in clinics anymore like we used to have from Lake County Health Department. And they saved the taxpayers a lot of money when the walk-in clinics, you could do an appointment, but they were all over Lake County. And now they're just filling up the emergency rooms with the illegals and everybody else, and it's costing the taxpayers.
And we're going to the news. So we'll talk to you soon. Thanks. Appreciate it. Bye. All right. So AUH2O. Yeah, it was a nice gold button with black letters. And yeah, you'll remember it if it's in your collection. We'll check out the news and we'll come back to you with Tim in Shreveport wants 1960 charts on WGN Radio.
See the tree, how big it's grown, but then it hasn't been too long. It wasn't big. You laughed at me and I got mad. The first day that I planted it was just a twig. Then the first snow came and I ran out to brush the snow away so it wouldn't die. Came running in, all excited, slipped and almost hurt myself, and you laughed till you cried. Yes, you were always young at heart, kinda dumb and kinda smart, and I loved you so. You surprised me with a puppy, kept me up all Christmas Eve, 2 years ago. Could sure embarrass me when you came in from working late, 'cause you would know that I'd been all alone and crying over some sad and lonely late, late show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. She's back. All right, so who is doing the answer record to Honey there? And actually, smarmy as that might be, she was quite the singer-songwriter. A lot of rockabilly stuff and some country stuff as well. And it was Shelby Singleton who found her in Nashville. She'd been in Texas before that. She'd been singing in Lubbock, and she was on the Louisiana Hayride and things like that. And she actually did backups for Dale Hawkins. She was on a tour with him and did backups for some of his stuff on Chess. She was a big deal, and she wound up writing, as I say, and a number of things in her deal with Shelby Singleton, probably the best known, Reconsider Me. Yeah, she was the co-writer of that. But while she was on Plantation, Shelby convinced her somehow to do Honey, I Miss You Too. All right. All right, so who is she? 888-876-5593-8888, Raleigh. A little after that, someone in the early 80s, she went back home, and then she went to Shreveport and got married there, and I think was living there until she died a few years ago in Shreveport. She was 79. All right, so who is she? 888-876-5593. There is your bumper stumper. I don't have to ask you what the answer is to it. The answer is to Honey, unfortunately. Yeah, Bad Enough by Bobby Goldsboro, and then by her? Who is she? All right, our trivia question. Most of us encounter these virtually all the time these days. The first time anyone saw one was in the latter 70s. Saw one what? All right. 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh. Tim is in Shreveport. How's it going, Tim?
Well, pretty good there, Raleigh.
All right, so you don't know who our Shreveport singer was there, huh?
No, and I wanted 1980. You said 1960.
Oh, no, 1980. I got 1980 right in front of me. Sorry about that.
Oh.
All right.
Oh, okay, no problem.
We'll do This Week in 1980, which would be the week of July 26th. Are you ready?
Yeah, that'd be fine.
Number one, It's Still Rock and Roll to Me.
That's Billy Joel.
Number two, Magic.
Olivia Newton-John.
Number three, Little Genie.
Elton John.
Number four, Cupid, I've Loved You for a Long Time.
The Spinner.
Yes. Number five, Shining Star.
Midnight Star. I mean, Midnight.
Not midnight anything, but M's are right. Keep going.
Manhattan Transfer.
No, how about if we get rid of Transfer? Let's do this again.
The Manhattan.
Yes, yeah. The Manhattans. All right. You're going to win anyway. But number six, Coming Up.
That's Paul McCartney.
Number 7, Steal Away.
Robbie Dupree.
Number 8, Tired of Toeing the Line.
Oh, Lord.
I liked that song. It's one of the few on this list I know.
Golly.
He was so good. And then we never heard from him again.
That was the one hit wonder, dude. Well, I heard it the other day.
He had famous relatives.
And I saw his name.
Yeah, because he had famous relatives.
Something Stallone.
No, there's no Stallone in it. No, like Frank, you mean? Frank? No, here. Let me have you hear a little of it, and maybe that will help some.
Yeah, I mean, I know the song, but I just didn't think about it.
So, he bears the last name of his famous father and uncle.
Man. Yeah, and I saw his name the other day on that, too, when it played, and I cannot think of his name.
Rocky Burnett.
Rocky Burnett. Yeah. Oh, man.
All right. Number 9, Take Your Time.
That's the SOS band.
How the hell do you know that and not Rocky Burnett? But okay. Number 10, The Rose.
Oh, Bette Midler.
We have a winner. Very good. I couldn't have done it. All right.
Yeah.
So hang on and we'll confirm that address. Don't go away.
All right, then.
All right. So indeed, yes, that is 1980. And we will also be doing... let's see, 1974 with Mark and Aurora. But Norm in Fenville, Michigan, has a guess on the bumper. What did you hear, you know?
I think it was J.D.C. Reilly.
You know it wasn't. God knows, I can see why you'd say that on SSS or Plantation, but no. It's nobody It's nobody you'd know unless you knew. Though, as I say, she did a number of things. In fact, she wrote The Girl Most Likely for Jeannie C. Reilly. And like I say, Reconsider Me for Johnny Adams. Great record. So, yeah.
Oh, all righty. Well, I
yes, you did.
Might have been.
All right. Thanks. Yeah. Appreciate the call.
Thank you. Keep up the good show. Love it.
Thanks. Great to hear from you. All right. So, yes, she also wrote Soul Shake, you know, Peggy Scott and JoJo Benson. Yeah. So, and a number of other things. Oh, There Never Was a Time, Jeannie C. Reilly, that as well, and more. So she had quite the writing career, and she was well-known and did quite a bit of rockabilly as well. I think Honey, I Miss You was probably the low light of her career, but it we are playing Answer Records tonight, and you'll get a third one coming up in moments. But let's see. Are we going to do charts? Yeah, I think we are. All right, so let's say hello to Mark in Aurora. How's it going, Mark?
That's fine.
Good.
Excuse me.
So we're going to do 1974?
This week in 1974, yeah.
This week in 1974. All right. Let's see what we got here. That's June of 74. Let's see. We want to go to July the... That would be July the 27th, the week of July the 27th. Are you ready?
As ready as I'll ever be.
Yeah, smiling. Number 1, any song...
John Denver.
Number 2, Don't Let the Sun Go Down on Me.
Elton John.
Yeah.
With Tony Tonail as backup singer.
Yeah, and there were so many lines that went with that song, but most of us couldn't say them on the radio. Number 3, Rock and Roll Heaven.
Oh, the Righteous Brothers.
Number 4, Rock Your Baby.
George McRae. I talked about him last week.
Yes, you did. Number 5, Ricky, Don't Lose That Number.
A Nice Jazzy Steely Dan.
Number 6, Feel Like Making
With
Love.
The long version had a marimba at the beginning, and number 6 was Roberta Flack.
Yes, of course it was. Number 7, The Air That I Breathe.
The Hollies.
Number 8.
Written by Albert Hammond.
That's true. Number 8. Rock the Boat.
The Hughes Corporation.
Yes, afraid so. Number 9. Please Come Back to Boston.
Dave Loggins.
Yes, I'm afraid so. I had to promote that record. Number 10, Call on Me.
All on Me, Chicago.
Yes, and we have a winner. That's it. You got all 10.
Yeah,
really good. Let's see.
Chicago, that Chicago song is one of the most complex and... I don't know.
All right.
Creative things they ever did.
Hmm.
Okay.
Now, we'll see how far you go.
Yeah.
So you ready?
Okay.
Number 11, Sideshow.
Yeah. Oh.
One of my favorite records.
I know this song for sure, but Blues Something?
You're right, it is Blues Something. Blue what?
It's not Blue Image, because that's right, Captain
no,
Ryan.
Right. Yeah, and we're sure that was Blue's Image, by the way, but no, it isn't.
Yeah. Yeah. Blue... Oh,
one
boy.
One of my favorite songs, too. All right, well, it's not in the top 10, so you don't have to know it, but it's Blue Magic.
Yeah, Blue Magic. Well,
of course.
Boy.
All right, so hold on. We'll confirm that address. Thanks.
Okay.
And we'll pick it up. Let me review the question that I've got out there again. Here we are, holding it right up to the microphone. Most of us encounter these virtually all the time these days. Yeah, whether we want to or not. But the first time anyone saw one was the latter 70s. Saw what? Yeah, you probably saw one today. I would think so. 888-876-5593. 8888-RALEIGH on WGN Radio. James. Well, you know what it's an answer to, but who are they? 888-876-5593-8888-RALEIGH. So most of us encounter these virtually all the time, but the first time anyone saw one was in the latter 70s. Saw one what? All right, so Cindy in Chicago, welcome back to WGN Radio.
My guess is electric cars. They were in their roughest form at that time.
No, when do you think the first electric car was brought to America?
Well, it wasn't when I was at college. I took energy and environment in 1980, and my teacher drove the car to work to the campus.
Well, about 100 and so years later, earlier in 1888, Andreas Flucken designed the Flucken Electrowagen, and that was the first real electric car, and Andrew Morrison introduced it to the United States in 1890.
Wow.
So there you go.
Yeah, I know more of the history. history of all that. It was like killed. We'll forget it.
Well, right. Actually, electric cars started to come to the market. They never really did in the 90s because the California Air Resources Board, in their infinite lack of wisdom, mandated that a certain percentage of all the California trucks be electric. The problem was that the trucks did not exist. And so automakers quickly tried to develop electric models, and they eventually were all withdrawn. And it wasn't until Tesla first delivered the Tesla Roadster to customers in 2008 that we saw the first highway legal all-electric car. So there you go.
Oh, wow.
All right.
Well, you know, the way I am by now, I could laugh my way through anything. But I guess I'm getting I lost my sense of humor. And then anyhow, do you remember Alan Abelson from Barron's Magazine?
I don't know.
Well, he passed away. I don't know how long it was, maybe.
Okay.
6 years ago, yeah. 7 years ago. And
right.
Randall Forsythe is no Alan Abelson. He writes up and down now.
Well, see, you're talking about things that matter. We don't want to do that.
Okay.
All right. Thanks for calling.
All.
Appreciate
that's,
it.
That's all I'm going to say.
Right. But yeah, no, I am aware that Alan Abelson was editor of Barron's, but he's been gone over 10 years. If that is your interest, you know there are tons of radio shows that will talk about things that mean something. Here we will talk about things that mean absolutely nothing. Jim in Richmond, welcome back to WGN Radio. What's happening in Wisconsin tonight?
Excitement galore, but I just wanted to guess on your trivia question.
What do you think?
Scanners for groceries in the grocery store?
Nope. I like
and
it.
I have a second guess is the rainbow flag.
I like that, too. Neither are right, but they're both good guesses.
Okay.
All right, we'll talk to you soon. Thanks.
Hey, a trivia question.
Yes.
On Big Bang Theory.
Okay, then hang on. I'll do that. Don't go away. We'll do it right after the news. I got to find one. All right. So Jim in Richmond wants Big Bang Theory, and I can do that. So we'll put him on hold, and we'll find out what Don in Beloit, who's got a trivia guess here. So, I know we'll get your guess first, and then we'll do World War II after the news. But what's your guess?
Hey, Raleigh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you said 79. We started seeing Home Depot stores in 79.
Okay. Actually, it's latter 70s. It wasn't 79, but not far. It was 78 in Marietta, so it's not all that far. And it would be probably the same year, probably around 1978. But it's not Home Depot. All right. So hang on, and we'll get your World War II question coming up, and I'll have to find one of those. And in the meantime, Fran in Austin wants advertising. So, Fran, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh. Thought I'd change it up this week.
Yeah, that's very unusual for you. Well, let's see something that we know you will hopefully know. And, you know, this game is now 40 years old, so most of these questions nobody would know because nobody would remember any of these. But but here's one I know you will know. You ready?
I'm ready.
Say it with flowers.
Oh, what is that? I know it's some flower shop, it's got to be.
Well, or and maybe not a shop. Oh, you can do this. Who's the who's the big gun when it comes to flowers?
I haven't bought flowers and so on.
Well, you know, if you're going to have them if you're going to have them delivered.
Let's see. Oh, shoot. My mind's blanking on that one.
Oh, you're going to hate yourself. You're going to just hate yourself. Are you ready?
Yeah.
FTD.
Oh, my God, yes. FTD florist. Oh, okay.
Talk to you later. Okay, thanks.
Last week I didn't get the lyric, and this week I didn't get the advertising.
Then call back later.
We'll do next week.
Call back later. We might do a lyric. I say call back later. We'll do a lyric. All right.
Oh, and that's okay. I'll do that.
Absolutely. And that's where we'll pick it up next hour with Don's World War II and Jim's Big Bang. And we'll talk to Jeff in Spring Grove and you two on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. So who is that? Well, you know what the song is, I'm sure, the hit, but that's an answer record, and all I need to know is, who is she? All right, so 888-876-5593. Now, our question, most of us encounter these virtually all the time, whether we want or not. You probably encountered it today, I'd almost bet. But the first time anyone saw one was in the latter 70s. What is it? 888-876-5593. Jeff in Spring Grove wants to take a guess. What do you think, Jeff? We lost Jeff. All right, well, thanks for trying anyway, Jeff. I know, sometimes the wait is a long time, but I hope you'll call back. All right, now, Jim in Richmond wanted Big Bang Trivia, so I am ready for you. Are you ready for me?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Well, let us talk about a bit that was routinely on Big Bang Theory, and that was Sheldon knocking on Penny's door. You know, knock, knock, knock. You know all about that. Well,
right.
In the season 2 finale, when Sheldon knocked at Penny's door, she knocked back, knocking 3 times and saying, "Sheldon," after each of Sheldon's Pennies. How did Sheldon react?
He said it was... He was stunned, and it was ridiculous.
No, what he actually said is that he had nowhere to go, and he could wait all the time and all that kind of stuff. He kept knocking until Penny gave up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And do you know why he was knocking 3 times all the time?
Now, I know this is a bit, and no, the only reason I even know it is because I looked up questions about this. And so, by the way, the reason that he was knocking on Penny's door at that point was he wanted to use the big walk-in freezer at the Cheesecake Factory. But what...
Right.
You know, practice working in the cold. All right, so
right. This
obviously was a running bit. Tell me about the history.
The history was that he claimed... that when he was young, that he came home early, and then he heard noise, and he opened up the parents' bedroom door, and that his father was in bed with another woman.
Ooh.
And then he quickly closed the door, and then he said, after that, he said he knocks 3 times so that people can put their pants on before they answer the door.
Well, for that bit of trivia, we'll consider that a win. All right, so hang
okay.
on. Don't go away.
What? And tomorrow I would like to call and talk to you. You brought up the first subject of the day was drummers. I would like to talk to you tomorrow on who you think was the best drummers.
Okay, we'll do that. I'll look forward to it, but hang on. We'll confirm that address. Don't go away. All right, so 888-876-5593. 8888 Raleigh. Oh, there are a lot of good ones, too. Maybe we'll broaden that a little and talk about what are the best drum solos ever. Holy Ghost, the Barquets. All right, I have spoken. All right, now, Don and Beloit, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, I think I know that it's hard for us to be stumped for 2 weeks like this, but I think I know. I think I got another answer.
Okay.
I think it's Chicago and Tokyo, the first cell phone tower system. Tower, cell phone towers.
It's nice. It's not, though.
Okay. All right. Well, that stinks.
So we have a question for you. With a commitment to build a new fighter, all right, this is, by the way, well, we should back up and say, Henry Self, you remember Henry, he was a Briton in charge of getting American manufacturers to make planes for the RAF, all right? So he had this contract, and what I want to know, what was the original contract for?
Which British plane?
Well, no. He was in charge of getting American manufacturers to make planes for the RAF. So what I want to know is, what was the first contract?
Wow. Raleigh. That's,
I try. Oh, how I try. But
That's a good one.
Yeah. And the contract, by the way, was with NAA, which, of course, was North American Aviation.
Well, I'm going to say it was that dive bomber that became the famous Mustang. So I'm going to say it's the Mustang, what became the Mustang.
It was the P-40 Warhawks.
I almost said that. That was my first guess was P-40. That's it.
Go with that. And it was under license from Curtis. At the time, they were the only U.S. fighters even close to European standards. So the NAA official told Self they could design a new fighter.
Wow. That's a good one. I like it. It was used, of course, for the Flying Tigers in China had been using them for a few years. And it was good in the early war and worked out okay in North Africa. Anyway,
we will ask another question next week. Thanks.
Yep.
Appreciate
Thank you so
it.
Much. All right. Bye-bye.
All right. So 888-876-5593. Brian in Jefferson City has a guest. So, all right, Brian, what is it?
Hey, Raleigh, how you doing?
All right. How about yourself?
Oh, I'm not doing too bad. I'm going to guess the 2-liter bottles of soda, like Coke or Pepsi, that came out. I remember those came out like in the late 70s.
It's a nice guess. It's not right, but it's a lovely guess.
Okay. Hey, could we do some trivia?
What kind of trivia do you want?
How about the Waltons TV show?
The Waltons? Okay. Why not?
The Waltons.
I can probably do this because it was certainly...
If not, I can pick something else.
Oh, no. Believe me. I guarantee you there are tons of of Walton trivia quizzes. Because the show was on for quite a while. So,
yeah.
What was Olivia's maiden name?
Oh, my God.
And it was only mentioned one time when they were talking about her Aunt Kate.
Godsey?
Daily.
No, I wouldn't have known that.
Yeah, Olivia eventually contacts TV and has to move to Arizona to recover TV.
Yeah, I remember that was in the last couple of seasons. And I think Ralph Waite's character, John Walton, the dad, he left, and I think his character moved out there with her, I think, the last season or two, if I remember right. So.
Well, I have to trust you since I've never seen a minute of it. But
really? I love the Waltons.
Yeah, no, I don't watch TV, so I can't help you with that. Yeah. All right, good deal. Well, I'm glad you called, and I hope you will again.
I sure will. Thanks, Raleigh.
All right, so 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh. And all right. Graham, and I believe Graham was going to call last week. I don't know what happened, but Graham, welcome back. Oh, wait, he's talking to John. We won't welcome him back to anything. He and John are having a fine conversation, so, hey, I'll just talk to you. Actually, I'll come up with another bumper stumper in moments here on WGN Radio.
Yes, I'm the girl. Daddy's mandate with a gun and a knife. They
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. All right, so yes, that's an answer record, obviously, to Wolverton Mountain. Who is she? Now, by the way, this was torture for this woman as far as I was concerned, and she had a very interesting past in many ways musically, and she wound up being married to Troy Seals, among others, I think. But anyway, this was Cameo Parkway, God love them, 1962, and they made this woman do an entire album, including Ahab the Arab. It was all these novelty-type songs or answer songs or things like that. But, of course, you're familiar with Ray Stevens' Ahab the Arab. So here they drag this poor girl into a studio, having her do Ahab the Arab. And to this day, I laugh every time I hear her voicing Clyde. You know, the camel in it, a camel named Clyde. Yeah, I wouldn't have thought that's exactly what she was doing on this.
And Clyde would say, "Ma."
All right, so there you have it. Who is she? And like I say, she was quite the deal. Originally from Jacksonville, Florida, but she'd moved to New York City as a child, and big fan of Alan Freed, and going to the concerts that he'd put on and all that. And originally she wanted to be a dancer, and she realized that at 5 feet tall, probably she wasn't going to get a chorus job. So she started to sing, and she debuted at the Apollo, which was really interesting. And by 1957, she was actually on Freed's shows, and she cut a lot of records, including stuff on Gone, believe it or not, and none of those hit. But then she came up with these answer records. Poor woman. And for a while she was on Ampar and doing the teen idol stuff and all that. But like I say, in 64 she married Troy Seals and retired. But before she did, she had the answer record to Wolverton Mountain. So, but as I say, she had an interesting life all the way around, and I can't imagine what they had to do to her to get her to do the Ahab the Arab, but nonetheless. By the way, thinking about her, you may laugh at her, but I'll tell you, one of the people who cited her as an inspiration was Buffy St. Marie. I kid you not. And Stephanie in Madison knows who it is. So, all right, Stephanie.
It's Joanne Campbell.
Yes, it is. Absolutely right.
I love her.
Yeah.
I love her. A couple of things. She did a song that was written by Bo Diddley. Hey, Mama, I Want to Go Out. I think she's just a great
yeah.
singer. I absolutely love her. But you were talking last week about Connie Francis and Bobby Darin and mm-hmm. what a sad state of affairs.
Yes.
But supposedly he had a relationship going with Joanne Campbell, too. That's what I had heard.
I had heard that, too.
Yeah.
As far as that goes, I had heard that. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, who knows? But I think she was very underrated.
Oh, she's great. She is so good. I love her.
And
she
was in a couple of Freed's movies, Go Johnny Go and Let's Twist, so she was in that. So you can still see her from time to time. And, of course, she was, on Bandstand a few times. Of course, she was on Ampar for a while. So, yeah, she got around. And then she and Troy married in 64. I assume they stayed together because I never heard the otherwise.
Who did she marry?
Troy Seals.
He
was a producer and a writer and part of the Seals family, you know. But
Yep.
At the time, he was what label was he working for in 64? But anyway, that was the deal. And he also did a lot of session work. You know, he was on songs by everybody from Waylon Jennings to Vince Gill. He also wrote a lot of stuff. He wrote Lost in the 50s Tonight, the Ronnie Millsap.
Oh, wow,
song.
That's a great song.
Yes,
yeah.
It is. Yes, it is. And a number of
wonderful.
Of other things as well. So, he's related to Jim Seals and Dan Seals and Johnny Duncan.
Yep.
So, yep.
I love Seals and Croft. I know not everybody does, but I do. Dan Seals, who passed away. Oh, I thought he was great.
England Dan.
Liked a lot of it.
Yes, England Dan.
Yep. Exactly. And England Dan, John Ford Coley.
He's been gone a long time.
Yes, he has. He died of, I think he had prostate cancer.
But that was like 2009 or something. I mean, it's a long
time.
Something
like, yeah. Oh, yeah. I know. It makes me sad.
Yeah.
And the songwriter, Jerry Fuller, died.
I know that. Yes. Yes. Absolutely. And I figured we'd do something this week on that because Jerry Fuller, not only did he write, but produced as well. And there is a number of things. You know, he wrote Travelin' Man for Ricky Nelson. And his production on a lot of that Ricky Nelson stuff was just terrific. And
absolutely.
He wrote Show and Tell for Al Wilson. And
I love that song.
Yeah,
that's a great. That's a sad song, but it's a really good one.
But the other thing, the other passing, which was on the one hand not at all surprising, and on the other hand a total shock, was Duke Fakir. Because he was, he was the last living member of the Four Tops, and he retired like 2 days before he died.
He
announced his retirement, and
literally,
it was like 2 days. And the Four Tops are so interesting because, you know, sporadically they'd have a big hit, but it wasn't like they had a string of very big hits. It was sporadic, but they were. They were the longest-running group of original members, the same guys of the Four Tops from 1953 to 1997, without a personnel change. It's 44 years. And I don't think that, Lawrence Payton died in 97. And Levi...
When did Levi Stubbs die?
He died in 2008, but he had a stroke in 2000, and he had faced cancer before that. And he was 72, 2008. So, and Obie Benson died in 2005. So, Duke was the last man standing, but for those 44 years, they did not have a member change.
Wow.
And I was
my husband had told me that earlier about Duke. Is it Fakir?
Fakir, exactly. F-A-K-I-R, Fakir. Yes. And, but literally it was, I think it was 2 days that he had announced he retired, and then that was it. And the Four Tops will continue, but obviously not with any originals, although Lawrence Payton Jr., son of a founding member. When Duke retired, he announced that Michael Brock would take his place as a singer in the Four Tops. So it'll be Alexander Morris. And you read about him recently because he's the guy that, when he mentioned he was in the Four Tops, the hospital put him under psychiatric investigation. Or whatever.
Get out of here.
He's suing the hospital. He went about a year ago. He goes in. He is literally in an emergency situation with heart problems. And he said, I'd appreciate it if you keep my identity private because I'm a public person. I'm a member of the Four Tops. And they sent him in for psychiatric examination. Exactly. So, and, you know,
it's just asinine.
Yeah, he's a preacher on the West Coast as well. So, but you were absolutely right, so don't go away. We'll confirm that address, and thank you, Stephanie.
Hey,
all right.
I got a question.
Okay,
who did the answer song for Honey?
You got I can't tell you that because somebody might guess it. And I'll tell you.
I'm sorry. I thought somebody already did.
No, I'll tell you at the end of the night. I promise. All right. Okay, hang on. All right. So on that note, we'll find out what's going on in the world at large and get back to Monday Night Trivia on WGN Radio.
The Duke of Earl, and I am his girl, and no one can hurt me. Oh no, yes, I'm going to let him love me. No one can hurt me now, 'cause I'm the Duchess of Earl. Over here.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. So, who is it? Appropriately, since it's an answer record to Duke of Earl, it too appeared on VJ. But who are they? And here's the weirdest fact about this record. It was produced by Sonny Bono. Nothing I can do about it. Those are the facts, ma'am. All right, so 888-876-5593, 8888. Raleigh, most of us encounter these virtually all the time. And, yeah, whether we want to or not, probably today, you've encountered one. But the first time anyone saw one was in the latter 70s. Saw what? 888-876-5593. I'll reveal it at the end of the night. That's the end of next hour. And we'll also reveal all the bumper stumpers as well. And Graham is in Las Vegas. So, Graham, thanks for calling. Welcome to WGN.
Hi, I tried to call you on Thursday and Friday, but yeah. Got all messed up with the time differences.
Wow. Well, Friday, of course, it's a replay. I only do four nights.
That's right.
I only do four nights live. It's the most I can do. Thursday would have been great, but yes, time difference. So at least It was that and not lack of total cell service.
Yeah, well, there was also lack of total other things, too, but that's a whole other story because I'm out here visiting friends.
Good.
And then heading west. I'll be riding along with you for the next couple of days.
Oh, good. Well, I'm thrilled. I love to ride. Where am I going?
You're going to Rockland County, New York.
Oh my God! Well, it's a real long ride. All right, I know Rockland County very well.
Uh huh. Yeah, we're going to be. I'm going to be heading back up there with bringing a car back to my friend's son. He didn't like it out here. I think flipping houses isn't like it is on TV. It's not as much fun.
No. So is he like in Nyack or New City or something?
Exactly, yes, okay. New City.
New City, yes.
I know it well. Yes, that's where he grew up, and he missed his mom, he missed his friends, and he went back for a visit and decided to stay. So it's good for me because I get to come out here for a week. It's 95 degrees in the dark. I'm gonna hop in the pool in a couple of minutes.
Good.
Do you think tomorrow you'd be able to play that Arab song on as a song or a bumper or something
you
like
mean,
that?
Because, you mean the Joanne Campbell version?
Yeah, I'd love to hear.
Okay,
it.
All right.
It sounds almost as good as Mr. Bang Bang Man.
Oh yeah,
because that's my favorite song.
Oh, I know. Well, every now and then, you know, Little Hank also did a ballad, so every now and then I play that.
Uh-huh.
But yes.
Yeah, Little Hank always did some good stuff.
Yes.
So, but I'm glad to hear that John's doing a little better and that you guys are getting back and forth and doing what you need to do.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like I've mentioned before, the weirdest thing is that nothing comes automatically. Like if he wants to take a step, he has to mentally think about how to take a step. Nothing is natural.
Mm-hmm.
And I keep hoping that, you know, some new pathway to the brain will click in because, believe me, it gets pretty tedious when every action you're doing, you have to think about how to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, I know that. I mean, I've God knows how many times I've been through therapy and had joints separated and they just don't want to work again.
No.
And I've dislocated my shoulders many times.
Yeah.
And they have, and dislocated knees fully. Both of them have been fully dislocated. Ugh. I had one dangling sideways when I jumped off a dock at low tide, and they had to pull me out of the water.
Ugh.
They were just happy that I wasn't drinking yet.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the interesting thing for people who wind up in an accident situation. If they can prove you've had one drink, you really have no claims to anybody.
Well, I had no claim anyway because it was my own stupidity.
I jumped
off the dock.
But there are so many cases where people be like at a company party, for instance. And, I knew a woman, sadly, she's passed on, but just a vibrant, bright, great girl. She was athletic as hell. And she was, this is a KLBJ, and she went to a party and she dove in the water and broke her neck and then was, paraplegic, actually quadriplegic. And because they could prove she had had a drink, she had no claim.
Yeah, there was a kid down the street from my friend about two, three doors down in Brigantine who did the exact same thing. And he dove off his own dock. and ended up in a chair for the rest of his life.
Oh wow!
Yeah, I don't even know if he's even still with us. Right. I'm not even sure.
Right, because there are so many secondary things that can set in when that's the case.
Mm-hmm.
Just a couple. All right.
Because everything just seems to start to fall apart.
Yes, absolutely.
So,
now, you wanted motorcycle trivia. So John came in and he said, I've got the perfect question. And he tells me the question and I argue. Now, here's the deal. I argued. And you might know.
Okay.
But late 60s, Sears sold a motorcycle.
Yes.
The problem with a motorcycle is it was so hard to get parts.
Yes.
And John said that's because it was made in Czechoslovakia. And I said, I think it was made in Austria. He said, no, you're wrong. It's Czechoslovakia. So what's the motorcycle and where was it made?
Okay. The Allstates were made in a bunch of different factories. Some of them were made in France by Pook. You remember Pook?
Mm. Well, that's what I was going for, Pook.
Okay, because and then also, they could have been possibly made by CZ over in Czechoslovakia that also makes a fantastic handgun.
Okay, so maybe they're two different motorcycles because the one by the one by Pook, the most I could get out of it was Graz, Austria, and the reason that they had problem getting parts is because they had sort of switched to arms and other type of manufacturing. Mm-hmm. But so maybe CZ sold something for Sears too.
There's very possible. They sold Allstate scooters, which also they. Well, you know, Sears never made anything themselves.
Oh, of course, absolutely not. Yeah, Allstate motorcycles, scooters, and mopeds. I do remember this.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So they had them, and Pook was one of them.
Right.
And I could cheat and go inside and look in one of my antique motorcycle magazines, but I'm not going to do that.
Well, I just tried to look up Sears Allstate online, and I got the rod shift, and that was Pook. But it was only built for the North American market and sold for Sears, obviously. And then there was the 175cc split single, but I don't know who made that. There weren't
it
many.
It could have also could have been made by Zündapp in East Germany. I have a Rickman motorcycle, which has a Zündapp 125 two-cycle engine, the single-cylinder two-cycle. You know, two-stroke.
Yeah.
And that's a very odd one. And that little motorcycle weighs under 200 pounds dry.
Wow.
That's how light it is. Yeah, very small, not small, but very light.
Right.
And very strong because it's got a nickel-plated alloy chassis that looks just like chrome when it's all cleaned up. It looks beautiful when it's all clean.
Wow.
So I keep that in my office. My wife hates it, and I love it.
Well, absolutely. Mm-hmm. It's a piece of history. It's an antique.
It is. Yeah. It is. And if I was to leave it outside in the salt air in South Jersey, within 6 months, I would be taking it to the scrapyard because it would look like garbage.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Just like everything else I owned.
Oh, yeah, really?
Yeah.
Understand that one, to say the least.
Mm-hmm.
You win as far as I'm concerned, but I guess the debate will come on. So Pook was not made in Czechoslovakia. I'm right about this. Okay.
Okay.
But, so that was Austria. But then the question is, did CZ, and I can't find out yet, make something for Sears or anybody else? I'll keep looking.
Okay, you keep looking, and I'll keep looking,
okay.
And maybe we'll find out later on in the week.
Yeah.
And I will be calling in tomorrow. I'm looking forward to hearing this Ahab the A-Rat
by Joanne Campbell.
Like
all right, you will.
Yeah, it sounds absolutely hysterical.
Yes. It's no Mr. Bang Bang Man, but it is pretty good. You know,
It's not as good as Mr. Bang Bang Man?
I don't know. I put several records in Mr. Bang Bang Man category, most notably Chicken Spaceman. I always have you heard that one?
No, I haven't.
Oh, then tomorrow night you'll hear Joanne Campbell and you'll hear Chicken Spaceman, and you can tell me how it compares to Mr. Bang Bang Man.
Okay, so now
I'll be in Mountain Time tomorrow, so I'll only be an hour behind you, correct?
That is correct.
Yeah, because I'll be switching over to Mountain Time once I get into Arizona.
No, okay, in Arizona, you're not switching to Mountain Daylight, you're switching to Mountain Standard, so that's the same as Pacific Daylight. So in Arizona, in Arizona, it's the same time in the summer as California, and in the winter, it's the same time as Detroit. I'm sorry, Denver.
Okay.
Denver.
Okay. So, okay, now, because I'm going to be running up 15, because I want to do that trip backwards. I've decided I dislike New Mexico after the way I was treated by the troopers there.
Okay.
So I decided I'm not going to spend any money in New Mexico. So my plan is to head up 15. Okay. And pick up 70 over in Colorado. That's
right, right. And that is Mountain Daylight. That I know just where that is. They finally connected the two interstates. Hallelujah. And for years they didn't. Anyway, yes, that's Mountain Daylight, but we're Mountain Standard. But it does not matter, probably, because whatever time you're on, I assume you have watches and all that digital stuff that hopefully won't switch to Arizona. But if it does, it's unfortunately Mountain Standard, not Mountain Daylight.
Okay. Because I'm only going to be in Arizona because then we head into Utah for
a while. You're not in Arizona long. I mean, I like to say it's all of 15 minutes. It's a little longer than that, and there's a couple nice vistas. But no, you're absolutely not in Arizona long on that. In fact, it's so funny because, of course, you know, interstates are a state and federal partnership. And over the years, every now and then, somebody will come up and say, we need to have toll gates for all these people driving through I-15 because they're not Arizonans. It hasn't passed yet, fortunately.
Oh, that's good, because you know me, I live in New Jersey, of the fee.
Oh, absolutely.
We just got walloped again.
I remember so many years ago when I had moved to Philadelphia, I was talking to Stephen B. Williams, one of my closest friends, and I was mentioning about the bridges, and he thought I was making this up. He said, there are no tolls on bridges. I said, the hell there aren't, you know. And,
yeah, he has no idea.
Right, well, he got an idea after a while, but I was explaining how it's the New Jersey exit fee, because you can get you can get into New Jersey for free, but you can't leave.
Well, New York has got all the hardware set up for congestion pricing.
Yeah, right.
And the talking heads on local New York TV are talking about how in London they have congestion pricing, and they've had it for years, and it works out very well.
God help us.
But I can't think of a single toll.
Right.
I've driven all over the UK. I've been in all three sections, Scotland, England, and Wales. And I don't remember ever paying a toll. The only thing you would pay is to go onto a ferry.
Right. Well, it'll be interesting.
And even some of the ferries were free. Well, it was good old Hakim who decided to pressure them not to do the toll, because New York is afraid that they're going to lose everything.
Well,
they're running absolutely scared at this point over there because there's very, very unhappy people.
Yeah,
Did I tell you I went to the Trump rally in the Bronx and the one in Wildwood?
No. Okay. Well, we'll talk about that tomorrow night.
Okay.
All right.
See you
thanks.
Tomorrow.
Hold on. Don't go away. You knew your answer, right? You win something. All right. So absolutely, Graham is right. We'll get to John. He's a first-time caller in Buffalo Grove. Brother P knows some bumpers. Johnny D's got some guesses and, of course, wants a hominin question. And there'll be room for you, too, on WGN Radio. Oh, it's my turn. And we're coming to the end of the hour. And we have another hour of Monday Night Trivia after that. But we have one more bumper that I owe you for this hour. So it is easy. This is a gift.
That day, oh, yeah, when you walk away, I wanted to call you back, but I didn't know what to say. But when you said you had to part, something hit me all at once. Love walked right in and caught me by surprise, 'cause you threw a lucky punch. Little girl, you threw a lucky punch. That's right, you threw a
lucky papa. Baby, baby, when I saw you for the very first time, I wanted, wanted to love you and leave you behind. Until you put me down, I had won every round, but something hit me all at once. Girl, I never thought you would open my nose, but you threw a lucky punch.
You threw a lucky punch.
You threw a lucky punch. Since I love you, let me prove my love is true and love
WGN Radio. There you go. We got another hour of Monday Night Trivia coming up. We'll talk to John, Brother P, Johnny D, and you right here on WGN Radio.
Coming down the street.
It's the 60 Minute Man.
Doesn't he look bad, though?
Yes, he does. We have some girls we want you to meet, Dan, but you look terrible.
60 Minute Man. 60 Minute Man.
Look here, girls, my name is Dan. As I told you once before.
Once before.
Please excuse my blown up view, because I can't do 60 no more. I used to rock 'em all night long, now they say that I'm a bore.
I'm a bore.
Now I guess I'll take a rest, because I can't do 60 no more. I tried my luck with Lucy, I messed around with Mary Jane. I was walking with a cane. Go ahead, girls, forget old Dan. Now you know the score. Just be my friend this evening, because I can't do 60 no more.
He can't do 60 no more.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, that's the answer record, obviously, to 60 Minute Man. So who are they? 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh. And our question, if you don't get it this hour, we will reveal at the end of the hour. Most of us are encounter these virtually all the time. Probably have today. But the first time anyone saw one was in the latter 70s. Saw what? Now they're everywhere. 888-876-5593. John is a first-time caller in Buffalo Grove. Thanks for calling, John. Are you still there?
Well, hi, I'm still here.
Thanks for waiting.
I don't have any answers, but I do enjoy the show, and I'm amazed at your knowledge and experience in the music business and the backstories. And you're also so kind to your callers. I really think that's pretty nice in the evening hours of late, you know, late radio.
Well, thanks.
And I just wondered, I heard one of the answers was, please come to Boston.
Okay, yeah, we talked about Dave Loggins briefly, right?
Oh, and you knew that he had passed away?
Yes, this month earlier, okay. And he was 76 years old. Okay. He died in Nashville. And like I mentioned, I had to promote Please Come to Boston. I was working for Epic at the time. And the reason I say that in a certain disdain manner is not because of the song and not because of Dave, but Epic Records, it was on Epic, didn't know what to do with that. And, of course, he was from Tennessee, and they're thinking, well, it's a country record. I said, it's not a country record. You know, I said, you know. And so that was the fight. It turned out to be number one on the Easy Listening chart, in spite of their ill attempts at knowing how to promote him. He had an album on Vanguard earlier, and it did nothing. And then Apprentice in a Musical Workshop was the one that Please Come to Boston came from, and that was on Epic. And that did chart, not that well. And then he had a few more Epic albums that never charted. And I have always thought that they did not know what to do with them.
Yeah. Well, that there's a backstory again, which is so nice to hear. I really enjoy the you know, what you do is really special.
Well, thank you.
Just and wanted to,
yeah, I should mention also, when we're talking about him, we shouldn't forget he wrote Pieces of April, which was a wonderful song for 3AA.
Oh, that's okay. That's yeah, I had just heard about it today. Yeah. And it was a pleasure to talk to you.
I hope you'll call again.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate it.
Take care.
Yeah, he underrated, but, you know, Epic was famous for that. You know, same deal where they did not know what to do with Rupert Holmes. And the three Rupert Holmes albums on Epic were just classics. The first one was Widescreen, one of the best albums of all times, and they just didn't know. So 888-876-5593 is 8888-RALEIGH. And let's see, we're going to get some bumper guesses from Brother P in Chicago. Thanks for calling. Brother P, wait, I see, this is my fault, not yours, mine. Now I can say hello. Welcome to WGN.
You got me now?
I gotcha.
Hey, all right, long-time listener and admirer and short-time caller. I don't call very often. But,
I wish you would.
How many bumper stumpers can you guess?
Oh, you can guess as many as you want because, you know, the prizes are worthless.
Yeah, I know that. I mean, but I don't want to take it away from anybody else and that stuff like that. But,
well, let's see. What
okay,
do you know?
I mean, you want to? We'll start with the top. The first one is Son-in-Law, and that's the Blossoms.
Okay, actually, there's one before it, Honey, I Miss You Too. But that's all right. But yes,
oh, I didn't hear the first one.
Yeah, you're probably lucky.
The next one was Gloria Lynn. You don't have to be a Tower of Strength.
Absolutely right.
Then Duchess of Earl by the Pearlettes.
Right, Sonny Bono and, Productions.
You Threw a Lucky Punch, which was Gene Chandler.
Yeah.
And then the last one was Can't Do 60 No More, which was, I think, the Dominoes.
Yes, it absolutely was. Billy Ward and his Dominoes in 1955 on Federal.
And the tie-in might be, that's just its guess, you know, all independent labels?
No, they're all Answer Records. We kind of established that.
Yeah, Answer Records, I know that.
Well, that's it. Yeah, that's it, because we did it last week, and I had so many other ones left over, I said, well, we'll do it next week, too. It'll be Answer Records.
Oh, there's a million. What was the first one, the one that I didn't hear?
Well, the very first one was Etta James, The Wallflower, which, of course, originally Work With Me, Annie. But then, Honey, I Miss You Too, and I'm leaving it out there. I'll reveal it at the end of the hour. Just a painful song all the way around, but she was quite an artist.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, so I mean, I'm happy. I'm happy we're getting four and leaving something for somebody else there.
Well,
so.
Good. Well, hang on. Don't go away. We'll confirm that address. And yeah, don't be impatient waiting. It'll take forever.
No,
all right. I'm glad you called.
The way the U.S. mail works in Chicago, you can't be patient for anything.
I can't blame this one on them. Rarely do they take over a year. Hang on. Don't go away. All right. So, but we've known to 888-876-5593. We're going to do, let's see, some trivia guesses, I do believe, here. Mike is in Lindenhurst, wants to guess our question. So, Mike, what do you think?
I think it's going to be cars with airbags.
It is not, but that's interesting. I'm afraid they plagued us before that. All right, thanks.
Okay.
I think so, anyway.
All right,
thanks, appreciate it. I should look that up. Maybe they didn't, but yeah, I'm not a fan. All right, so let's see. We're going to a Seinfeld trivia with Jeff in Homewood and Johnny D in Ohio. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Oh, Wally, thanks for taking my call. You're so kind to everyone.
Yeah, all right. You too.
Listen, I just woke up about half an hour ago. I fell asleep.
A nap.
So I don't know, huh?
A nap, how nice.
Yeah, I had it on your show, like I was watching the Fox News show. I was
with a lovely and talented Becky.
Well, she went to bed, and then I came into this other room and to put you on, and then next thing I know, I woke up, it was like 12:30. Yeah, so anyhow, so then, I don't know if these questions, I mean, these answers were given.
That's right.
About in 1970.
Yeah, later. Actually, it was later 70s. I'd say 78. It's the first one time anybody saw one, 1978.
Okay, now, I don't know why I thought of these two answers, but I don't know if you gave this question before or not.
Maybe.
For something, I think a dimmer switch.
No. Oh, God, no. A lot older than that.
and Sunken Living Room.
No. Those are a lot older, too.
Well, then I don't know. I just, them two answers just popped in my head.
Well, they're very nice. They're lovely answers. They're just not right.
Yeah, well, thanks for being so kind. all right, what do you got?
Okay.
You got a hominin?
I do have a hominin, actually. And it is not multiple choice because it's really easy.
I
want to know.
I'll take easy.
Yeah. By far, the best early known hominin is this. And it's a 4.4 million-year-old species known for healthy, complete skeletons as well as numerous other dental and skeletal remains.
4.4 million years old?
Yes, and it's known because they found a nearly complete skeleton of this.
Okay, now wait a minute. Let me think here. Ardipithecus.
Yes, an Ardipithecus what?
Well, we got Sediba. Ardipithecus Sediba.
And it's not that. I'll tell you if you're right. So far, no, but that's okay. Keep going.
Okay, wait a minute. Let me think. I have to think. Ardipithecus. Oh, God. It's not Poanthropus, is it?
No, now, there is a partial skeleton of a female, Arty, who is part of this.
Ardipithecus, God darn it,
yep.
Ardipithecus,
It was first reported in 1994. In 2009, scientists announced a partial skeleton, Arty. The foot bones in the skeleton indicate a divergent large toe combined with a rigid foot. It is still unclear what this means concerning bipedal behavior. The pelvis, reconstructed from a crushed specimen, is said to show adaptations that combine tree climbing and bipedal activity. The discoverers argue that the Arty reflects a human African ape common ancestor that was not a chimpanzee-like. A good sample of canine teeth of this species indicate very little difference in size between males and females of the species. Arty's fossils were found alongside fauntal remains indicating...
So it didn't have any sexual dimorphism.
Not that I know of. The Smithsonian Institute didn't tell me that.
Well, the sexual dimorphism,
yeah.
That's...
I know.
Okay.
But they don't delve into Arty's personal.
Ardipithecus, it is Ardipithecus.
Yes, it is. It's a form of Ardipithecus.
Right. So even Ardipithecus. Oh God. I'm sorry. All I can think of is Sediba. That's all I can think of.
The Ardipithecus ramidus.
Oh, God! It's Ramidus. Oh, man.
I guess you're familiar with them.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know why it didn't come to me, because I was just stuck on that Sediba, you know.
Oh, I know. I know exactly how that is. But, yes, the Ramidus.
Okay.
All right, good deal.
Ardipithecus Ramidus, son of a gun. Okay, you got me. Okay, thanks.
Thanks for calling. Appreciate it. All right, yes, the Ardipithecus ramidus. I didn't think I'd get them because I thought that was actually in a little article about well-known facts of hominins. But, of course, they're all well-known to Johnny D, and none of them are well-known to me. All right, so Sherry is in Naperville, and she's going to take guests. So, Sherry, welcome back to WGN. Sherry. All right, so Sherry gave up. It happens. We're going to do radio trivia with Gary and Austin and Seinfeld trivia with Jeff and Homewood, and there's room for you, too, on WGN Radio.
The world. for the good things she's found. If he's bad, she can't see it. He can do no wrong. Turn her back on her best friend if she puts him down.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. All right, so who is it? Yeah, and certainly you know what it is, an answer record to When a Man Loves a Woman. But who's singing? 888-876-5593. Gary is in Austin. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Well, hey, Raleigh.
How's it going?
I think I know that last bumper.
Okay.
I believe it was Esther Phillips.
Absolutely right. It was Esther Phillips. Very good.
I remember hearing it on the radio as a kid.
Really?
Darn it, I was going to do that.
All right. All right.
Brand new. She said she was going to call.
Oh, man. Oh, well. All right. Well, you're both right.
I didn't know she was going to do that.
That's all right, but I get to save your radio question for next week because you are
a
winner.
That's right.
All right.
Yeah,
good deal. Well, hi.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Good deal. Thanks. All right. So, yes, absolutely. That is the deal. Esther Phillips, When a Woman Loves a Man. All right. So, and Sherry called back. All right, Withers, half a dozen guesses. Go for it, Sherry.
Hey, I didn't know what happened because I thought I was on hold, and when you were asking for me, my phone said call, and I'm like, no, that somehow it shut off automatically. But, you know that song you just played?
Mm-hmm.
When a Woman Loves a Man. But I told David, I said, I know that song. I could name it like in one measure of it.
Right. When a man loves a woman, of course.
Yeah, When a Man Loves a Woman. And I was introduced to that song. The first time I ever heard it was during the Big Chill movie in Michigan State. And the crowd in the movie theater went wild.
Right.
But not just for the song, but I mean for the whole movie. Okay. But anyway... Can you kind of sort of repeat the question, because it's going to depend on which...
Most of us encounter these virtually all the time, probably today. But the first time anyone ever saw one was in the latter 70s. Saw what?
Oh, latter 70s. Okay, for some reason I thought...
Yeah, 90s. 78, okay. Actually. 78.
All right. Compact discs?
Nope.
Floppy discs?
Nope.
Microwave ovens?
Nope.
Garage door? I don't know what you call them. Automatic openers with the little clickers?
Nope.
Satellites?
Nope.
I can't read that. Oh. CRT monitors versus...
No.
No. All right, one, two, oh yeah, three, four, five, six. Between one or two.
Broaden your horizons.
Broaden my horizons.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Broaden my trash compactor.
No, I'll do it. No.
That's as best I can broaden right. my horizons, because my friends had one in their kitchen next to the dishwasher, and I never saw one in my life.
Think about it in an entirely different direction.
Entirely different. So nothing technically produced and marketed that kind of thing, nothing like that?
Nope, it would not. Well, you know, I mean, when you say marketed, that encounters too much. When you say produced...
Well, I guess what I mean is, like, for the general population to buy, like, a dishwasher.
Well, you know, again, when you hear the answer, you'll understand why I am hemming and hawing about that. I will just say broaden your horizons.
That's fine, because I always know it's out there in the weeds.
All right. Yes, that is true. All right. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
Love you. Thank you. Bye.
Yeah, and we'll find out what's going on in the news. We'll get back to Jeff in Homewood for his Seinfeld. James on the South Side is World War II trivia, and you too, coming up Monday Night Trivia on WGN Radio.
Here's my story. It's sad but true. I'm the girl that he once knew. I gave my love, but he put me down. He says I'm just a runaround.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, that's an answer record if there ever was one. And 1961 on the Rust label. Who is she? And yes, there is a song you know by her. And though you may not want to admit it. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, Jeff is in Homewood. How's it going tonight, Jeff?
Oh, it's better than last week when we had no power.
Oh, well, yes, that's a lot better. You know, we take that for granted. We come home, we flip up the switch, we think the lights are coming on, and it's always such a shock when they don't.
Yeah, we were lucky. We were out for 18 hours. There's other parts of town that were out for days.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And there's no good time, but I guess this is better than January.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. So, Seinfeld trivia.
Can I guess what the strike was, too?
Of course.
Did anybody guess credit card online processing?
No, that's an interesting guess, but no. No, the latter 70s, they were not processing credit cards online.
How about self-service gas pumps?
Nope.
How about plastic milk jugs?
Nope.
All right, that's my guesses.
Well, they're all wonderful guesses. They're just not right. All right, so you're a Seinfeld fanatic, and I think we can work something out here. Jerry originally refers to Kramer by what name?
Oh, boy, that's another one. I don't know that one.
And it's based on the name he saw on the buzzer for Kramer's apartment. The problem is that Kramer was a real-life friend of Larry David's, and he hadn't yet given his permission to use his name on the show. So the name on the buzzer was not Kramer. It was...
Milhouse.
Kessler. Thanks for trying.
All right, talk
appreciate
to you later.
It. Okay, good. All right, yes, Kessler. And then, of course, obviously, Kenny Kramer said, sure, go ahead. And the rest is history, I would think. All right, so we have Jim in Richmond calling back with another trivia guest. What do you think, Jim?
I'm thinking it's the appearance of handicapped signs in parking lots and the placards in cars.
I like it. It's not right, but I like it.
Oh, I give up then.
All right. Well, good deal. We'll talk to you later.
Thank you. Bye. Right,
thanks. Yeah, that's a well-thought-out guess. It actually wasn't required until the ADA in 1990 insisted on it. But there, the history of the symbol probably goes back to, I think, 1968. And but as far as having to... didn't happen until 1990 with the ADA. Shameful. All right, so 888-876-5593. Sam is in Gurney. So, all right, Sam, what do you think?
Hey, Raleigh, would it be dryer sheets?
No, it would not.
Okay.
It's a nice guess.
All right, thanks.
Yeah, thanks. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Yeah. Bye-bye.
I hear those aren't good for clothes or the dryers, but I don't know. That's just what's been said. So now let's see what we can do about World War II, because that is what we're going to. In fact, James on the South Side, let's see how he's doing. So, all right, James, welcome back to WGN Radio.
How are you? Thank you for taking my call. How's everything going with you?
Can't complain. Send me less email.
Okay, well, yeah, some of them was so tempting. I just said, yeah. I said, there were some that were right up the rabbit hole, basically.
Yeah, right. Yeah, certainly that. All right. So let's see what we could ask you about World War II. Trying to find out. Let's see. In 1941, Operation Compass finished with the British achieving a victory over the Italians, despite the latter's superior numbers. Just how lopsided was the ratio of forces, which took place in North Africa, obviously, about how many British soldiers to how many Italian soldiers? I'll take something close.
10-1.
It's more than that.
20-1.
36,000 British and 150,000 Italians.
Okay, that's even bigger. Yeah,
that's a problem.
Basically like more like almost. Let's see, about a little over 30-1 odds or 35.
No, I don't think it is. Actually, I don't think it is. Because 150,000 into 36,000 would not be that much. But it was certainly bad for the Italians, who a ton of them wound up as prisoners. So, but I would think that it was probably about 4-1, roughly.
Yeah, that's why I said, that's why, originally I said 5-1,
right.
Even the Germans said about the Italians, great at art, great at cooking, fighting, no.
Well, that's true, because there were 150 Italian soldiers and there were 130,000 Italian prisoners. That tells you that the soldiers did not do well.
No, they... We might as well call them, like they sometimes say, they were more lovers than fighters.
All right, well, let's ask part two and see how we do here. The Italian soldiers and their generals did not exactly share Mussolini's desire for conquest, to say the least. After a small foray into Egypt, Italy lost a large part of Libya. Now, after the victory at this one place, the British were worn out, and they halted their advance. What was the place?
Okay. This was...
Get back to your phone.
Okay. Huh?
Get back to your phone.
My phone. Okay, I know my phone's beginning to act up.
Yes.
Okay, I am going to say... I am going to say Tobruk.
Well, let's just say the Battle of...
The Battle of Al Alamein?
Bed of Farm.
Oh, okay. I forgot about that particular
yeah.
one.
Well, the British didn't forget. They said, we're out.
Yeah, because now, Monty didn't quite always... in fact, I think the Desert Fox always said about him, he's not going to jump at me like I am going to jump at him.
Yeah. Well, there you have it. Bed of Farm. We'll talk to you later.
Oh, I was going to take a chance on that.
Oh, good.
On that.
So what do you think?
Okay. I am thinking, I was going to say, I was going to say barcodes.
Nope. But that's good. That's good. That's better than, you know, suggesting something that, you know, exists.
Okay. Let me try something else then. Okay. I'm going to say, I'm going to say digital print.
Nope.
Okay, let's see. Another one would be QR codes?
Nope. By the way, barcodes go back to 1973, and QR codes are a little more recent.
Okay. I'm going to try for, let's see. I was going to, I can't quite think of the name of it though. It's, I was, okay.
You will not have trouble naming this. You will absolutely not have trouble naming it. And QR codes, by the way, go back to about 1994 for the first one to be invented. But so, nope, we don't have barcodes. We don't have QR codes. Nice though.
Okay, let's see, I'm going to say, I'm thinking of the print that's sometimes embedded into currency.
Uh-huh, it's not that.
Okay, let's see, I'm going to say, think about it,
and give me a cogent list when you call back.
Okay.
All right,
okay.
Good deal, yes, no more thinking, have your list in front of you, 888-876-5593. We'll be doing Sam and Gurney back. We did talk to Sam. He had the dryer sheets. It wasn't the dryer sheets. And James on the South Side will call back. And we'll talk to Nero in Japan as well. I bet you we're going to do Myers-Briggs personalities. All right, and there's room for you, too. Most of us encounter these virtually all the time. You today, probably. But the first time anyone actually saw one was in the latter 70s, 1978 to be exact. What is it? 888-876-5593. And there's quite the story about it, too. All right. Oh, man. Well, not quite as bad as some other things in the same vein, but we'll leave that. I'll stop talking because it always confuses the hell out of you, so we'll stop it right there. And we'll come up with another bumper stumper coming up on WGN Radio.
Small Sad Sam. Small Sad Sam.
Here's a tale of a man who is puny and weak. Stood 4'6" in his stocking feet. Kind of narrow in the shoulder and heavy in the waist. Everything about him seemed to be misplaced. Small Sam.
Small Sad Sam.
He slid into town one rainy night, running like a dog away from a fight. He had a pretty big mouth for a guy his size, and everything he said was a pack of lies. Small Sam. One day he got on a downtown bus. First thing you know, there was an awful fuss. They threw Sam off into the street for trying to steal an old lady's seat. That's Sam.
Small Sad Sam.
One day, nobody knows what for, an elevator stuck on the 85th floor. Some cables broke, and so it said, that car just hung there by a thread. The women were calm, the men were mild, but Sam screamed and cried like a little child. He squeezed himself through the emergency door and pulled himself up to the 86th floor. Small Sam. Chicken Sam.
That
Well, of course, that wasn't the only parody of Big Bad John, but who is that? 888-876-5593. Now, of course, if you're a Dr. Demento fan, you're probably more familiar with the 1966 Cap single. You remember the Ballad of Irving?
Of Irving. He was short and fat and rode out of the west with a Mogan David on his silver vest. He was mean and nasty right clear through, which was kind of weird because he was yellow too. They called him Irving. Big Irving. Big Short Irving. Big Short Fat Irving. The 142nd fastest gun in the west.
And, of course, there also, if we want to be totally politically incorrect, I guess we can't stop talking about Big Bad John without remembering Steve Greenberg's Big Bruce.
The folk history of America is the history of its heroes. Big working men like John Henry, Paul Bunyan, and Big Bad John. Today I'd like to introduce a new folk hero. He didn't work in a mine or on a railroad or any of those strenuous occupations. He worked in a beauty salon, and his name was Bruce. Well, every day at the salon you can see him arrive. He stood 6'6", weighed 105. He's kind of narrow in the shoulders, narrow in the hips, a curl in his hair and a smile on his lips. Big Bruce. Big Bad Bruce.
And that, too, probably didn't get much play until Dr. Demento. It came out in 1969 on Trip Records, and it was one of those, for the most part, vanity labels. And Bill Stith, who had a label, Great World of Sound in Miami, who, if you could pay your session fee, he cut a record no matter what it was. But he had Trip as well, and he was the producer on Big Bruce. And Steve Greenberg had been a student at the University of Miami, education major. I have no idea what happened to him. Not the same Steve Greenberg that you'll read about sometimes in the music business. But we're not talking about Steve Greenberg. We're not talking about Frank Gallup, but our small, sad Sam. Who was that? All right, so that's the final bumper stumper. And I want to go through this fairly quickly because we're going to have to reveal some stuff here, I can tell. But Naoto was in Japan. How's it going tonight?
Yeah, I think the rain season is over now, so the weather is getting a lot better.
Okay, well, good.
Yeah.
So we're talking Myers-Briggs here, and what I want to know,
yes.
All right, the caregiver, which is ESFJ, mm-hmm. Who is the caregiver mm-hmm. most compatible with?
Oh, I think that would be... can you give me any hints?
I don't, you know, I'm trying to think of, you know, they all have these names like the caregiver. Well, this guy's name is probably a little more creative than that.
I think it could be, maybe, I or E?
Well, it's definitely an I.
I, us. Or, I think it will be I, S.
Yeah, good. Keep going.
I, S, F, J?
No, it's I, S, T, P, the crafter. We'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, appreciate it. All right, so 888-876-5593. Now let's try to get through our calls as quickly as possible. Carl has some guesses. What do you think, Carl?
Hi. I wasn't sure of the question, but 1978 this came out. Is it the
the home video recorder?
Nope.
Or video nope. Or Betamax?
Nope, nope, nope.
Nope. Okay, but thank you.
Thanks for trying. Appreciate it. All right, so, yeah, Betamax actually came out a year earlier, but regardless, not in the same ballpark. All right, so Judy in North Riverside, going to take some guesses real quickly. What do you think?
FedEx truck?
Nope. I love that. Thanks, Judy. Appreciate it. No. Let's see. Sherry in Naperville, going to quickly tell me what she thinks.
Hi, I remember giving to my friends ID bracelets.
Not ID bracelets.
We had bell bottoms.
Not bell bottoms. About a decade late on that
one. Handheld calculators?
Nope. I'm afraid it's got to be over. All right, thanks. Appreciate it. And a big apologies to Sam and to James, and they'll be on the honor system if they know. Most of us encountered these virtually all the time these days. Yeah, we do every day. But the first time anyone saw one was the latter 70s. Saw what? An unsolicited email. On May 3rd, 1978, DEC, Digital Equipment Corporation, sent an unsolicited email to 600 individuals on the ARPANET announcing an event where their newest computer would be on display. May 3rd, 1978, the first unsolicited email. All right, so that's that. Now, the folks we played today who did answer records, of course, Etta James, The Wallflower. Margaret Lewis did Honey, I Miss You, 1968 on SSS. The Blossom, Son-in-Law, Gloria Lynn, You Don't Have to Be a Tower of Strength. Joanne Campbell, we got that. I'm the Girl, I'm Over the Mountain. Gene Chandler, You Beat Me to the Punch. Did no one call in answering Gene Chandler? I don't know. The Pearlettes, Duchess of Earl. Billy Ward and His Dominoes, Cat News, 60 No More. Esther Phillips, When a Woman Loves a Man. It was Linda Laurie, yeah, Ambrose, who did Stay at Home Sue. Phil McLean did Small Sad Sam. And, of course, Frank Gallup and Steve Greenberg did the other. And so that pretty much is it. I'll get it all up on Raleigh.net and get the replay going, and we'll talk 21 hours from now. Now, until then, we thank Brett for keeping us on the air and for letting me know what was on the logs. Much appreciated. We thank John for screening your calls. But above all, I thank you for calling. Couldn't play Monday Night Trivia without you. So call in tomorrow night. I'll be looking forward to talking to you. Until then, I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.